It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, y'all. See you later.
Radio. Radio. Radio.
Hopefully that is done. I'm hoping. Let's see here. Alright. Let's crank this thing up proper wise.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio, belt a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the Pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the Pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the Pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.
All right, guys, here we are. It is Tuesday, May 14th, and you are in the Pit. Whiskey Bent Radio here coming to you live. Finally got home here just a couple minutes ago. Sorry for getting chat open late. Sorry for all those things, but that's what happens when you get caught up in traffic and you know, things happen like that. So anyway, good to have you here tonight. Sorry to miss you last week, but had a real important trip out to the West Coast, which we'll talk about here in a second, briefly, and without divulging too many details. So good tonight show. Last couple of weeks, man, we have ran hard, guys. We have we've had 4, 5, 6 guests on the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to break it back down a little more natural tonight. Get back to the roots of Whiskey Bent Barbecue Radio. And that is two guests. We're going to have two guests tonight. The first one's going to be Tom Barra from Philly Blind Pig. Tom is a great guy. I've only kind of met him through... one second. Great guy, Philly Blind Pig Barbecue. I know of him through our buddy Chris over at Zombie Barbecue, Rob Watson. We went back and forth on Facebook and Twitter and those type of things, which is always fun. But, man, so happy for him. We're going to get to talk to him tonight. I don't want to get too much into it, but he won his first grand this weekend up there in Pennsylvania at a KCBS contest. It's kind of his backyard. I would say kind of, to us, his equivalent of Pigfest or Winter Haven, you know, hometown. You know, not a hometown, but a backyard contest. To win it would be to be cool, and he got to do it this weekend. So we're going to get Tom on, and we're going to break down Philly Blind Pig Barbecue A to Z. Then we're going to come in with our buddy. I told you last time we had a show I was going to get him on. And obviously, you know, he's always a great guest. Always a great guest. And that is Craig Sherry, Texas Pepper Jelly. We got Craig coming in. It is going to be a good time having him on. We're going to talk to him, obviously, about the career change, going to Texas Pepper Jelly full time, which is pretty damn awesome. So we're going to talk to him about that and see what's shaking. So we got two great guests tonight on the show, and looking forward to it. So from here on out, guys, we should be looking pretty good next week. I don't believe I'm traveling, so we will have a Tuesday night show. And then I'm waiting to hear back on a couple of things regarding the following weeks. So we should be good to go. I hate to keep being in and out, but, you know, you guys know how it is. You know, you got to have the day job and you got to be paying the bills. So sometimes that requires travel. All right, before we get to Tom, a couple of things I want to hit before we get into the show tonight. And that is a pretty cool thing for you you folks out there that are in the Florida area. I mentioned it briefly on the show, but all the details have kind of came together. We will be doing a cooking class down at the Hyatt Regency Coconut Point down in the Naples area. It's going to be Father's Day weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Really, really cool class. We're going to do a butts and brisket on Saturday. So kind of the flow of the class will be Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, come in about 4 o'clock. We're going to do brisket and butts. We're going to go through meat selection, injection, seasoning. You're going to get the recipes, the whole nine yards. Going to talk about lighting the pit. Obviously, we'll be cooking on Southern Bread Smokers. But obviously, if you've got a different pit, we'll talk about, you know, lighting it, maintaining temperature, how I would cook it on that pit, you know, et cetera. Once we get all the meat on, probably going to be 7 o'clock or so. We're going to everybody go up to their room, freshen up. Meet down back in the lobby. They're going to have an area there for us at the bar. Two free drinks included in your class admission. And we're just going to kind of hang out for a couple hours, talk barbecue, shoot the breeze, you know, this and that. Obviously, everybody will turn in when they turn in. I'll probably be one of the last ones to turn in, but that's just kind of what I do. We'll get up Saturday morning, reconvene the class probably about 7:30 or 8. Pull the meat off of the cooker. What I would love to do is, I mean, you know, we're thinking this is going to be a pretty good-sized class, 100, 120 people. We're going to I would love for anybody that wants to get a feel. You know, why do I pull a brisket? Why do I pull a butt? What's it feel like? You know, we can talk temperature all day long, but for most of the guys out there that are experienced, they realize it's not a temperature thing because every specific piece of meat's a little bit different. It really boils down to a tenderness thing and a texture thing. You know, what are you feeling when you put that that Maverick Instant Read or that Thermapen in there? So we're going to, you know, everybody that can will get a chance to do that because we're going to be, and I'll come to this in a second, we're going to be cooking a pretty good grip of meat. We will probably wrap that portion of the class up by 9 o'clock. We're going to cut a couple of them, you know, obviously show you how to cut a brisket, show you how to cut, you know, how to handle pork butt, you know, kind of what we're looking for when you know, we'll talk a little bit to the contest point of view of what you're looking to do, turn in boxes, et cetera, on pork and brisket. Then we're going to switch gears and immediately go into a little bit of a grilling class. We're going to do some skirt steaks. We're going to do some chicken breasts. We're going to do some thick cut pork chops. Grilled, reverse sear. We'll go through all the different marinades, rubs, cooking techniques, timing, feel, temperatures, all that fun stuff. And that should wrap us up around 11:30. If you want to, you can go to your room, freshen up, check out, and then we're going to have a Father's Day brunch on Sunday. So all in all, it's going to be a really, really fun weekend. And it's going to be it's a pretty damn good deal. The Hyatt is really pushing to, you know, they're pushing the class. They want occupancy. They want this to become something that we do every year. And there's going to be plenty for everybody to learn. I promise you that. For anybody that's been to any of the rolling pin classes I've done or anything at Just Grilling, I'm known to give up a couple of secrets. But for what we're doing, pulling it up here directly from my Hyatt marketing lady, we're going to do, so you're going to get for the class and the brunch, two drinks, $125. It's a hell of a deal. If you decide to stay overnight at the Hilton, it's going to cost you $129 in a resort fee. So let's just say, let's look at it, $150, $125. Maybe you have an extra drink at the bar, some tax, $400. That's what you're going to be into it for the weekend. $125 for the class, $129 plus resort fee to stay overnight on Saturday. And we're going to have a great time. Any questions you got, I'm going to answer. Whether it's regarding the meats we're cooking or not. If you come to the class, we're going to have a great time, and you will not leave with any question unanswered. And that's going to be at the Hyatt Regency Coconut Point Resort and Spa. Check it out, Google, Facebook, Twitter. It is a beautiful, beautiful resort. We were down there a couple of weeks ago trying to work this deal out, and really, really excited about it. I think it's going to be a good time. And personally, to me, it's a hell of a deal. Because, you know, you're going to get a lot of good instruction, but you're going to have a good time with it, and for a fraction of the cost that, you know, people are out there teaching classes for now. So, if you're interested, I'll have it up on my Facebook, Twitter, here probably tomorrow. I think there was a couple of graphics tweaks we were doing. But besides that, we'll be rocking and ready to go. Before I get too much further into the show, I want to thank some folks. We're coming up and cooking Middletown, Delaware this weekend. Myself and Matt Van are representing Whiskey Vent Barbecue. Got a meeting on Thursday in Philly. Matt's flying in Thursday. He's going to pick me up. We're going to get on down to Delaware Thursday night, get our meat prepped, all that fun stuff. But there's a couple people we got to thank. We got to thank Chris from Zombie Barbecue. Chris is bringing down his Meadow Creek TS250, and pretty much he's bringing down his whole competition setup and going to let us cook with it. Then we've got Rob Watson over there. He's going to be bringing his GMG and his WSM. You know, if it weren't for dear friends like this, we wouldn't be able to just pick up and say, hey, we want to go, you know, cook this contest. But it's really cool, and we're going to try to be next to the first guy that's going to be on our show tonight, Tom Barrett. Rob's cooking with Tom this coming up weekend, but Rob, as soon as he saw that we, you know, needed some help and wanted to come up and cook it, said, look, I'm cooking with Tom, but whatever I can do to help out, I'll do it. I'd love to be there, you know, do whatever I can with you guys or help you guys out however much as I can. And so he came through. So Chris and Rob, thank you guys so much. We're looking for a great time in Middletown, I don't know how y'all call it. Down here in the South, we call that Middletown, Delaware. But it looks like it's going to be good. It's a tough murderer's row of teams. Everybody wanting that 1-2 or 1-1 jack draw. But it'll be Whiskey Bent's second time cooking up there, my first time. The first time that we cooked it, that was back when Matt Van and Joel Van cooked it with Phil Rizzardi from Barbecue Brethren, while Jared and I were out in Vegas cooking Ronnie Cates' first USA Barbecue Championships. So we split squatted that weekend coast to coast. And I think Matt and Joel walked out of there like a sixth or eighth place overall. So we're looking forward to getting there and hopefully finishing up on top this weekend. Once again, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate all the support, guys. Speaking of Smoke on the Water Productions, big announcement this week. Old Ronnie came out and said they have finalized the October 4th and 5th event on the Jersey Shore. Believe it's by Harris. We'll wait for the official announcement. We hopefully will have Ronnie and Stacy on next week to go through all the details. But $50,000 contest, Jersey Shore. All the official stuff will be coming out over the next week. Obviously, same weekend as the American Royal. when we had Ronnie on last time, I know I told him, you know, if it's $50,000 and on the, in the North Coast or in the Northeast, I think we may head that way instead of going to the Royal. Dude, love the Royal. Love what it represents. But don't have a contest in New Jersey crossed off yet. And it's a $50,000 contest. And it's not a weekend where everybody's going to flock there. They're, you know, those Midwest guys are going to go to the Royal. So, hey, the chances are we're going to keep all this money on the East Coast. Sounds like a deal to me. So hadn't talked through it with everybody yet. You know, me and Jared got to strategize about it. But I think maybe instead of going to the Royal, we went in 2010, had a great time. But I just always love Ronnie's events, man. They are such a damn blast. And you never have anything to worry about. That I think I'd just rather go there and not fight, you know, the ridiculous crowds and all the stuff that can come with the Royal. So stay tuned. But you guys should know $50,000, October 4th and 5th, Jersey Shore, Ronnie Cade Smoke on the Water production. So, like I said, hopefully they will be on here next week. And, you know, we'll get more and more details. All right, a couple things to hit up on before we go over the time. Obviously, a very big weekend in competition barbecue. As I'm pulling up a couple of the things, I will tell you, was very fortunate. Had to be out on the West Coast towards the end of last week for a potential project and ran into my buddy Kent Rollins. You guys remember Kent, Chopped Grill Masters, the cowboy. Got to see him, has been since we filmed Grill Masters that I saw him. And it was absolutely awesome, man. What, you know, he had him and his lovely wife, Shannon. It was really, really cool to catch up with them and see them and, you know, just catch up on life. I mean, you know, Kent and I talk regularly, but there's nothing like, shaking a guy's hand and giving him a good man hug to, catch up on lost time. So, Kent, Shannon, if you're listening tonight, which you probably aren't, you're out there on the Bell Ranch in New Mexico, but this on the replay, it was definitely, definitely good to see you guys and hope to do it again soon. Couple of things to look at. I was actually going to hit the FBA first, but there we go. Talk about the contest they had this weekend down in Fort Pierce. Dana and Janet Hillis back on top. Big Papa's Country Kitchen was grand champion by a little less than a point over Tommy and the crew from Blitz Creek Barbecue, I'm sure. I think Tommy just walks up there and gets the awards, and Gavin does all the cooking. But good job to them again, Reserve Grand Champ. They've been cooking really, really well lately. Rounding out your top 10, Smoke and Flames Barbecue, third place. Newman Barbecue, fourth. Good buddy Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q, fifth. Smokey Dog, sixth. Seventh, Matt Barber, Hot Wachulas. Eighth, hey, the boys, Swinos. Always good to see Jeff and Tracy and Beardo. And, you know, I don't know if Zach was down there or not, but Griff, all the Swinos boys, man, they will always be near and dear to my heart and good friends of ours. Eighth place overall. Terry McKay, Getter Smoke, ninth place, and Rob Bagby rounded it out, 10th overall. Category winners, Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elser Chicken. Wins it by a little less than a point. First place Ribs, Smoking Flames. First place Pork, Big Papa's Country Kitchen. And first place Brisket. Last time I saw this man win a first place brisket, he cooked it in about 3.5 hours. Tim, two crackers cooking. All right, KCBS, couple of contests I want to hit on are... one second, guys. Little browser delay. I obviously want to hit on the Green Lane, Pennsylvania, Greenland Fire Companies. Fire Co's? Green Lane Fire Co's? Green Lane Fire in Greenland, Pennsylvania. Obviously, our first guest. Damn, Tom, you not only won it, you won it by like 6 points. Awesome. Second place, Chicken Chokers. Third place, Smoking Hogs. Your Jack Daniels champions from, what, a year ago? 2 years ago? Shady Crew, fourth. Feeding Friends, fifth. Q Haven, sixth. ZBQ, seventh. Three Eyes Barbecue, eighth. Badlands, ninth. And Wilbur's Revenge, tenth. Categories there are Chicken Chokers, first place, 173.7. Smoking Hogs and Ribs, 169.7. Shady Crew Pork, 174. And ZBQ, 173.7 to round out Brisket. One more contest I wanted to hit on was the... Sam's Club. Knoxville, Tennessee this week. Top six going on. Rocky Top Barbecue first. That's a tight one. 0.6 points. Uncultured Swine. Moon Swiners. Ash Kickers BBQ. Joe B's Blazing Butts and Wings. And sixth place, Warren County Pork Chopper. First places, Chicken, the All Good Barbecue Pit and Crew. Ribs were Moly BBQ, first place Pork, Government Pork, and first place Brisket, Uncultured Swine. Real quick, I believe we should have a friend. Yes, we do. Tom Barra up in queue on the show. Before we get to him, one thing, a couple of folks. First off, want to thank Grizzly Coolers. Got our two 150s and our 60 in, and pretty damn awesome. I'll tell you, we put 40 pounds of ice in the 60 on Thursday, and today is Tuesday, and the drinks that your hosts are having tonight is out of those 40 pounds of ice. And it's not watery, nothing of that nature. That is still nice, frozen, ready to rock and roll. Need to go over to grizzlycoolers.com, check it out. If you're one of the barbecue guys, hit up Mitchell Bedwell on Facebook. Mitchell Bedwell. He's kind of the guy liaisoning, if you will, the barbecue team sales. He's got a couple of deals out there, et cetera. So hit up Mitchell before you go to the website. Hit him up on Facebook and let him know you're interested in Grizzly Coolers. Guys, they're the real deal. Lifetime warranty. You know, Brian, we had on from Grizzly last time. He wouldn't say it. I will. Better than a Yeti. Owned a Yeti. I've owned a Grizzly. Lifetime warranty, over a 10-year warranty. Well built. You should have saw this the way this thing arrived. It was very, very well protected. I mean, looks like brand new, like you went and picked it up out of a store, and it was shipped cross country. That's just the kind of detail these guys pay to attention. And cooling for that cooler, once again, I know we've all done it. We've all got those igloos or those Colemans. But guess what, guys? The hinges are going to break. They don't hold the heat or the cold as long as you want. Just bite the bullet, man. Yeah, we all know. If you're listening to this show, you're not going to quit cooking competition barbecue next week. Go out, make an investment. And the investment is Grizzly Coolers. Well, that being said, let me pull up my buddy, Tom. You there, buddy? Hold on. Let's try one more time. Tom,
hey,
here.
You got me there?
Mm-hmm.
Dad, how are you?
Dude, brother, congratulations to start with, man.
Hey, thank you. So I knew once I got that first grand champion, I'd become famous, and here I am. I'm on the show. I appreciate
awesome,
it,
brother.
Man.
Hey, man, I've enjoyed us chat many a times. I appreciate you listening, and once again, I appreciate you and Rob and Chris just, you know, being the great guys you are and extending that welcoming hand for Delaware this weekend. I got a feeling we're gonna have a good time, and I'm packing an extra $500 bail money.
Yeah, you better. It's gonna be a great time. Yeah, they're great guys. That's one of the great things about barbecue, man. It's one big family. I mean, I don't know if I appreciate all my buddies heading down to you, but, hey, it's all right. You can borrow one of them for the weekend.
Hey, that works, brother. That
and
works.
Hey, just real quick, if I could, I just wanted to do a little shout out to Rob Watson, whose father is in the hospital. And I just want, you know, everybody listening to send some good thoughts his way. You know, just everything works out well for him.
Man, I did not know that about Rob's father at all, but I will second that motion.
Yeah, I just had to get that out there.
Yeah,
with that being said, man, we're going to have a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, we're going to have a fantastic time tonight. I mean, me and you have got about 40 minutes together.
Hey, that sounds good. I hope my phone lasts that long.
Well, dude, it better. It better. Or I will gong show the hell out of you out of here, and you won't come back.
I'll get another phone. Nah, we'll be good.
So, Tom, obviously your first time on the show, you know, and from listening to the show, you know how we're going to do it, man. We're going to start all the way from the beginning, and then we're going to, you know, move forward to, you know, to all of it cultivating this weekend with your first GC. What, you know, what got you started on competition barbecue? What really got your juices flowing?
Well, like most guys that get into it, I've always liked cooking, you know, be that on the grill or inside. And back in 2005, not too long ago, I got an opportunity to cook with a friend of mine who runs the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. And there's a little event down in Philadelphia. It's getting bigger each year that Gary Maddox,
ex-Philly.
Oh, yeah, he runs this little charity event that's a rib cook-off, winner gets World Series tickets. And, you know, I got a phone call to come down and cook at this thing. Never cooked any barbecue before and, you know, picked up one of these $30 little Brinkmans, no airflow control, you know, a little piece of craft cooker, but, you know, that's what we used. And about 40 teams with tow behinds and all the great stuff that, you know, I own now. And we came in top five. So that's how it all really started. I thought, hey, I could do this, man. I'm one of the best cookers in the world.
What were the is it just a? And you may have said this, and I just may have missed it. Is it just ribs? If I remember right, it's not all four, is it? Or is it all?
No. They tried to do KCBS a year before I went down, from what I hear, and it didn't work out well.
Okay.
So for his charity that he runs, it's really just ribs, chicken. And then anything you want, in anything but category.
Okay.
So, you know, we cooked ribs. Ribs was, that was my thing that year. So that's all I concentrated on. And back then they had three rounds. You had to, like, get called in the top 20 and then the top five and then, you know, overall. And we made it into the top five. And that's what really got, you know, the juices flowing. So we started a team and, you know, 2006 started into a couple competitions.
Well, you know what I like is I love the fact of those chicken and rib contests. You just kind of pull on that morning.
Yeah.
You know, and go get after it, or you know you can go out there and you can still go out the night before and really get after it. You know what I mean?
And
not have to worry about that early morning wake up call, because the ones I've cooked have done, you know, like a 2 and 2:30 turn in or a 2 and 3 turn in.
Yeah.
So even in that case, your ribs don't have to be on till, you know, I mean 8 o'clock if you're really really low and slow. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, those single day things. We still do a few of them. There's a few charity. I still do the Gary Maddox actually to this day. You know, we head down and cook for one day outside of the stadium there, down Citizens Bank Park, and it's fantastic, man.
What weekend is that usually?
It is, it's usually the first or second weekend in August. This year it's going to be August 3rd.
August 3rd.
August 3rd is going to be the Gary Maddox cookout outside of, you know, Citizens Bank Park. And, you know, just to jump ahead a little bit, I actually ended up winning this competition in 2010. So got World Series tickets, got to take my dad to a home Phillies game against New York with Gary Maddox and all his friends in a box right down the first baseline. You know, this event is dear to my heart anyway. So it has become the party of the year for me. I go down there, and as the guys know, you know, probably on the chat here, you know, we get a few kegs going, and we just have a party all day down there.
That is too cool. I mean, that just sounds like something fun to be a part of. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
as far as the contest.
Well, you get to go up against restaurants, too, which is great.
Oh, dude,
So are you familiar with Stephen Starr?
Yes.
Well, he is a part of this whole charity event. He's a partner with Gary Maddox, so he invites all his restaurants to come out, along with other ones, you know, Famous Dave's, Dave Marks with his guy. They all come out.
Yep.
But most of the Stephen Starr restaurants are there. So it's kind of, you get a kick out of seeing them trying to do barbecue with their, like, fancy-dancy kind of sauces and stuff. But that makes it even more fun.
Well, you know, the one thing that kills that, and that's like judged, right? I mean, they get some, is it people's choice or is it more of a...
It's judged, and what's actually very cool about it, it's usually the alumni weekend. So the judges are most of the ex-Phillies. I mean, Bob Boone was in there, and, you know, Chris Jacinto, like all, a lot of the old Phillies were in there tasting the food, which I thought was excellent.
So
it is just it's just everyday people, some reporters, some writers from the papers, and then the Phillies are in there eating the food.
So compared to what we do KCBS-wise, you probably overcook a little bit, I would say.
They're falling off the bone, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
they're picking them babies up. That bone slides out, man. You're in. You got to do it.
For me, man, that one thing I can't get that all restaurants, you go like see a restaurant at what I call kind of a river contest, if you will. Man, they love putting those things on the flat top. And I've just never ate a good rib that came off of a flat top.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't get that. I'm not sure why that all started that way.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about, though, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
And it's like, and they're not using turbinado sugar. They're using that cheap ass brown sugar. And
absolutely.
So when they take and throw that on top of that hot ass flat top, it just tastes like shit. I mean,
you're getting just the burnt. Crispy, burnt, nothing on top of that.
Absolutely. Okay. I wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one thought that way when it came to restaurants, competition, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And
well, I could say that now, you know, probably years ago I thought they were the best things ever. You know, knowing what real barbecue is now and looking back, it's funny what you may have thought was good back in the day.
Dude, being a Southern boy... I mean, if I did something wrong now, yeah, you could arrest me and throw me in jail. But the worst thing would be making me go eat two meals a day at Sonny's. That would be worse than any jail time. But if you look at it, man, old Sonny's made a ton of money down here.
Absolutely.
Selling you know, and God bless him for that. And to me, that's why we've got the show. That's why we've got contests. That's why we've got competition teams is. We're just trying to educate each person at the time about what real good barbecue is. And it's not...
Absolutely. Hey, seeing somebody's eyes when they taste the rib for the first time.
Yep.
From any competitor. I don't care who it is. All the competitors are putting out some good stuff here.
Absolutely.
And just seeing people think, you know, this is what I've never had anything like this. You know, that's a great feeling.
That's what it's all about, man. And I'll tell you what, I wish I had a dollar... For every time at a class or at a barbecue or whatever, I've had to explain that to a true barbecue consumer that fall off the bone ribs aren't the perfect rib.
That's still hard to talk people into,
man.
That, man. Not everyone believes that still.
It's only when you hand them one and put it in their face and go, here, here's what it should be like. And they bite it and they see their teeth marks and it still just falls right out, you know. It still, you know, kind of just releases in their mouth. They're like, okay, got it.
Absolutely.
You know? So, but that's part of the fun of it. So 2005, you cooked the Gary Maddox. You finished in the top five. So one, you wouldn't have had a good time. Two, you were happy with the results. And that was on the old, just old Brinkman El Cheapo.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we talked, and right after that, it was August, you know, so we immediately... learned about KCBS and what's going on and events and planned the following year. 2006 was truly the first year I went out and did a KCBS competition, and I went and spent some money. I mean, I showed up at the first one with the foam still in the bottom of my big green egg. You know, first time I fired it up was in Bristol, Pennsylvania at Barbecue on the River. And I had a big green egg in three Weber Smoky Mountains, and I was ready to go. That was my actual first competition, KCBS, and I pretty much came in dead last in most categories. You know, I'll tell you, I got an eighth place ribs, very first competition, which made it all worthwhile. But, yeah, a lot to learn, man. You have a lot to learn.
Well, Tom, and I don't want to repeat it if you've heard it before, but I'll even one-up you on our first contest. We cooked backyard division because backyard's really a big deal here down in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't even have many of them up here at all.
Oh, we have. If you want to be a backyard contest cook, you can probably cook 8 events within 2 hours of where we live every year.
Wow.
And we did. We went over to Kissimmee. 9 teams in the backyard division. And we finished 7th with no calls. They called top 3 in backyard.
And
to top all that off, got beat by a troop of Boy Scouts.
you kept moving, man. Kept going. Dude, that shows something.
And I'll tell you what, we weren't happy with the results, but we had such a damn good party. We were that team that until about probably about the time we took it seriously, which was late 2009, when we say we kind of moved up to the pro ranks, quote unquote.
Yeah.
We took a keg to every contest, man.
Oh, I see teams still do it.
We were loud and proud, but at that moment it was kind of like, look, you know, and we had doing that. I mean, we won a grand in the backyard. We started being kind of, you know, one of the teams to beat in backyard, this and that. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know what, man? You know, yeah, it's fun getting, you know, yeah, it's fun maybe having too much to drink on Friday night. But you know the funnest thing is kicking ass on.
No, it's true. And you know, I'd like to have a good time. And you'll see next weekend when we're competing down there, man, I'm going to bring some good stuff for us. But I take it seriously now. But I do have a good story for you of what happened, you know, last year at this Green Lane competition, if you want to hear it. Maybe some people listening can learn a lesson from it.
Okay.
Well, you know, first of all, the Green Lane, this Green Lane competition up there in Green Lane, Pennsylvania, run by the Green Lane Fire Department, is fantastic. It's one of the best competitions that we do every year. People, you know, it's the best team-friendly competition that I've been at. These firemen are incredible. Sean Tucker and his group just run a great competition, first of all. So I've been doing it for 5 years. This is the 5th year, and love it. Well, last year they started a People's Choice Rib competition. So Hatfield sponsors it, gives all the teams a bunch of ribs to cook up Friday, you know, 6 o'clock. People start coming around with tickets they buy to try some ribs.
Okay.
Well, I had this great idea that maybe if I gave a shot of something out to each person that got some ribs, it'll kind of sway them a little bit. They'll have a shot of, you know, Buffalo Trace or Jaeger and have a good time, eat the rib. You know, and I thought I had a really good plan. It went wrong when I did a shot with almost everybody that came up.
Oh!
I ended up sleeping through the bonfire, the whole deal, man. I had luckily I got these great guys, Rob Watson and Chris, who's going to be with you, came over and kind of nudged my foot on my chair around 11:30 at night and said, "Dude, you got to get up and put your meats on." And for me, that's bad. I'm low and slow. My meat should have been on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's one thing to have a good time, but looking back at that, it's pretty much, you know, I just rolled that contest up in the diaper and threw it away, and that's not the way to do it. So this was a redemption year, man. I came into this contest wanting to redeem myself from all the jokes and what I did to myself last year. And to have it turn out like this is just incredible.
Absolutely. Chris said, "Don't forget Bill."
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, Bill, our friend Bill from that was out there hanging out for a while. Hollywood and Swine is his team, and he wasn't even competing, but he was, you know, helping me out with the People's Choice a little bit. You know, he started my fire for me, which saved me a lot when I got up and, you know, stumbled around trying to find the meats to throw on the grill. So big thanks to Bill.
So, you know, and I'll tell you this.
Don't even bring it up. I don't know if you're looking at that chat room thing, but yeah, I left that part out, Rob.
I had a dream. I threw up.
All right. Now, you know what? I don't care. You know, I'm on the show. When they woke me up, I did. I had this dream that I puked. I'm like, dude, I'm looking down. I said, thank God I didn't. I stood up. They're like, dude, it's on your back. Now, I have no idea, Chad. It was a Linda Blair event happened because I don't know how it got back there, but they threw me a new shirt and, you know, we moved on.
Well, that's a good time. That is getting after it right there, Tom Barra. Hey.
But yeah, all right. I was leaving that out, but thanks, guys. You know, that's all right.
And I will tell you my kind of rule now is, if there's gonna be on Friday, if there's gonna be any liquor at all, I'll usually do a shot before the cooks meeting. I know some guys like to do that, you know, for good luck or whatever. So I'll do a shot before the cooks meeting. But to me, all day Friday, and you guys laugh at me if you want to, it's Natty Light.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'll make fun of you next week, but there's really nothing wrong with that.
The reason I drink Natural Light is I know I can drink two cases of Natural Light on Friday if I wanted to.
Absolutely, because I'm a beer guy myself. I kind of hang out with a beer most of the time.
Still be fully functional at 5 o'clock in the morning when I got to be on Saturday.
No, that's what you got to do. I mean, I guess one of my problems is one of our sponsors this year is Buffalo Trace Bourbon.
That
makes it kind of tough to stick to the, you know, just beer, but I try.
We're going to talk about that in a second. Because I got that, in all honesty, I want to talk to you about that, not just from, you know, it being a really, really good, really, really good brown water. But in the fact of people that listen to this show, always one of the top three things I get asked at contests, because we're fortunate to have a lot of sponsors, is how do you go about doing that? So we're going to hit on that in just a second, Tom.
Absolutely. Okay.
But I will tell you, if it's at a KCBS contest after 1:30, or if it's an FBA after 2 o'clock, put the women and children to bed, son. Because, hey, this old boy is ready to go.
And, absolutely. That is awesome.
And we're gonna do some real drinking leading up to awards.
That sounds good to me. And I hope I hear your name called and I pass you as you're coming back and I'm going up. I mean, it's going to be a great day.
Exactly. I think it will be, man. I really think it will be. So getting back a little bit to how this started, you know, you talked about your first contest in 2006. And obviously, you got a call, which got you hooked, obviously.
Absolutely.
So you keep going. 2006, how many contests you think you guys cooked?
2006, we only did four contests.
Four.
And then I was working with, it was just me and a guy that I've worked with that was retired, Jack Rubright, who was a huge part of chipping in with the money and just getting this whole thing started. He was actually my first partner in this whole thing. Well, and we went through 2006 and part of 2007. Yeah, I think he did the whole 2007 with me.
And what are you cooking on at that point?
When 2007 started up, we then had two big green eggs, the large, and two Weber Smoky Mountains, and we had like a Weber 22-inch that we would bring for other stuff, you know, finished chicken off, that kind of thing. But that's what we were toting around, which was, you know, a real pain in the ass, the eggs. I love the eggs, but, you know, they're tough to lug around.
Well, you know, dude, I watched a guy at a contest, and I still cringe over it. I would love to have a big green egg just here at my house on my deck. I'm talking to a ceramics company now that I think has a product that's more affordable and probably just as good. But anyway, the ceramic cookers, whether it be a BGE or a Primo or whatever, it, you know, I watched a guy, and Tom, it broke my damn heart, man. He had an XL egg, and he's rolling this thing down the back of a 12-foot utility trailer.
Oh, no, yeah.
And buddy, I can see it coming. You know, he looks at his buddy looks at him. That thing had a ton of speed behind it, and you know what happened. When it got to that hinge right there at the bottom of the door, boom, and it just shattered.
That's not God. That's a shame.
And I was just like, man, I don't know what that cost, but that looks like a $1,500 F-up right there.
Absolutely.
And I was like, man, that and now I have seen, I mean, there's a group down here that cooks. They call themselves the BGE group, you know, the Big Green Egg group.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, when you see them load and unload those eggs, dude, it's like watching a cadet force march.
Absolutely. Well, you know Chris with Dizzy Pig.
I'm good
friends with Chris. I mean, he shows up by himself sometimes and sets these things up, and he don't look like he's struggling at all. I mean, if you got the technique right, I guess you're all right.
But, man, I will tell you what, after I watched one of those things break in a con, I was like, I probably couldn't hang with that.
Yeah, I got a little sick of carrying those around after our 2007 season.
Absolutely. So what did you go looking for?
I got a tow behind because I figured, because my partner Jack he wanted to retire and just not do this anymore, and I had my little cousin helping me at the time that Jack left, and we couldn't lift these damn things. So I went up and bought, I have a Meadow Creek 120. You're going to be cooking on that 250. I got the smaller version of that.
And I'll tell you what, so real quick, if you know Meadow Creeks, and I've been looking at the 250. Mind you, I'm going into, and this makes me sound really lame from a barbecue point of view, I've never cooked on a WSM.
Oh, is that right?
Which Rob's bringing me one of.
One of my favorite cookers. I still believe that puts out some of the best barbecue. It's controllable. You can put a guru on it if you want. I still think that's a great piece of equipment for barbecue.
Well, I will tell you, Harry Sue kicked mine and about 75 other people's ass on one 18-inch Smoky Mountain last time I was in Las Vegas. So, yeah, they're pretty good cookers.
I believe the only first-place rib, and I love my ribs, got many calls, you know, throughout the years as they went on, but my only first-place call-in ribs in KCBS is still on my Weber.
Nice. I will tell you before I finish up my statement, Lazy River Barbecue wanted me to tell you hello. He cannot get into the show, but he wanted me to tell you that.
Cool.
So I haven't never cooked on one of those. I've cooked on a bunch of stick burners, but I've never cooked on a Meadow Creek. So
you cook on a Lang?
I've cooked on a Lang, yeah.
I
got one here at the house. Yeah.
That's pretty much the same thing. I mean, I think the craftsmanship that they do up at Meadow Creek is a little bit better, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against the Lang, but it's pretty much the same piece of equipment.
Oh, hey, hold on a second, Tom. Ben, are you there? All right, Ben Lang coming in. I got Ben Lang on the line.
Don't do that. Kidding. Hey, there's still a battle going on with those guys, I think.
I know.
But it is the same piece of equipment, so I think it'll be all right.
Now, I could have actually asked Chris this, but I'm going to ask you since you're a Meadow Creek owner. So Chris tells me I got the TS-250 with the chicken cooker.
Yeah.
So what is this chicken cooker?
It's hooked to the front. It's separate from the barrel part of it, you know, the reverse flow. So it's just a flipping grill, you know, kind of grabs the meat in between. You can flip it with the charcoal down below a little bit further. So it's just a big square, cooker.
I'm thinking right before I want to set my sauce, that's where to go.
Oh, you can use that as a grill, high heat, put the fire down bottom. It's a great cooker.
Dude, hey, you know what? I may cook my ribs river style then.
You definitely can.
Dude, maybe just slather some sauce on there and hit them ribs on the way out. What do you think, Tom? Tom's like, I'm cooking against you, so I say awesome. All right, so you, 2007, you go to the Meadow Creek pull behind.
We did that by the end of the year, but I'll tell you, our seventh competition overall, KCBS, I'm a little bit fanatical. I keep every score sheet and pictures of every turn-in I've ever done. So I know that this contest I just did was the 45th contest I ever did, and I got grand. On my seventh contest, we got reserved grand down in Wildwood, New Jersey. Which really sparked us to, especially me, to work really hard to try to get back up to the stage. But it took me a while, obviously, to do it.
So your seventh contest. Well, I'll tell you, you know, you know, and I can appreciate you keeping good records, Tom, but I can tell you I have entered. We've got a SQL database with a little software program that I've got the 62 contests that we've cooked. I've got every appearance, taste, and tenderness score. what region of the country it was from. And the FBA, what judge numbers. You know, the whole nine yards. So, and I believe it's one of those things, man. If you, like, I'll be perfectly honest with you. When I was in the hotel room last night, I pulled back up when Matt and Joel cooked Delaware a couple years ago.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
And I said, okay, well, you know, and I looked at, and I also take notes on what's the program. Here's the sauce we used, here's the rubs we used, et cetera. And I said, well, you know, the appearance they love, and I can go look at the box picture. You know, the taste, we got a little bit of a hit on. They love the tenderness. So it was like, okay, and so I always commingle my cook notes with the database. And so when I come in, and anybody that's cooked with me in the FBA or anywhere else knows, I always carry the composition book. And I'll be in that composition book all contest long. Here's what time we pulled it. Here's what it felt like. Here's what it looked like. You know, just jotting little notes. But then when I come home, all that goes into the database.
Wow, you got me beat. I don't do that. Mine's in a binder, sitting on a shelf.
So when we're going to go cook a region or an area or this or that or another contest, you know, go back. I mean, because, you know, if I didn't have that, I damn sure couldn't tell you what Matt told me over the phone while I was in Vegas cooking a contest about cooking Middleton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's the right way to do it because this is competition. I mean, I'm one to use the whole sport word. I know a lot of people don't use it, you know, but you got to look at it that way if you want to win.
No, you've got to. I mean, if you go out there and you treat it like a hobby your whole life,
right?
You're going to end up spending a lot of money and not getting to where you can be. Because to me, a hobby is, and to a lot of guys, this isn't a hobby. To me, a hobby is, you call me on Friday night and go, Chad, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm jack shit. You want to go play 18 down the street? Sure. Let's go. You know what? I own spikes. I own golf clubs. I own a collared shirt. Let's go do it. Who's buying the case? Me or you, Tom?
That's you know? Right, man.
I mean, to me, that's a hobby. But, you know, for what we do and the amount of money and the amount of effort – and the amount of preparation, that's the thing I tell people.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Is, you know, on Wednesday it starts. You're gathering your competition meats. You're gathering your spices. You're getting your trailer, your truck loaded out. I mean, it's just not – you just don't show up on site and click your fingers and all the shit's there.
Oh, I know. I think a lot of people don't understand how much work it is that don't follow the whole barbecue thing. You know, it is a lot of work.
All right, Tom. Let's talk a little bit about this weekend. I want to break this weekend down by day, by category. So you get there. When did you get there? Friday morning?
Yeah, I got there early in the morning to set up.
Pretty easy drive, not too far away.
Oh, for me, it's 30 minutes, 35 minutes. I mean, this is a great one. It's close. You know, if I forget something, I can go home and get it. You know, this is a good competition.
Well, so, to me, you know. When I think it was Chris telling me, or maybe Rob, one of the two told me that, hey, man, this is kind of, you know, one of our backyard contests. And I've always said, and I still say to this day, I want to win Lakeland Pig Festival because it's in our hometown.
Yeah.
But I've always told people our number two is there is probably the best FBA contest in the state happens 10 miles from there in Winter Haven.
Right.
And it has an awesome organizer. It's a great contest. And, man, when we won it this year, it was like, dude, we just won Winter Haven. You know, and because, I mean, Myron comes down and Bubba comes down. I mean, everybody – I mean, this contest has a 3-year wait list.
Oh, that's one of them. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, like a New Holland to you guys.
Yeah,
you know
right.
And it's like – holy shit, we just won this thing. And so when, you know, Rob told me, he's like, hey, man, you know, this is kind of backyard deal, you know, so it makes it even sweeter. And that's really one of those things. And, you know I told you congrats, and I know I told you the first one will always be the most special. But, dude, if you go do it again this weekend, bud, it's still going to feel pretty damn good.
Oh, I know it. I'll tell you, because this one, you know, I love the people that are there, too. I mean, these organizers, Sean Tucker from the fire department, they make it all worthwhile. I mean, everybody comes back. I mean, we'll get into this, but it poured to the point where you were ankle deep in mud, and people were still saying what a great contest it was.
All right. So let's get to working on that. So Friday you get there, you get on site. So right now, what do you cook on? You still got the Meadow Creek, obviously?
I got the Meadow Creek. So I showed up early, and I'm forgetting one of the major parts of my team.
Yep.
A part that holds me together and keeps me sane. Marie Moody is my partner in this whole barbecue thing for the last pretty much 3 years. And I truly believe, Chad, you have to have the right people with you, and all of a sudden things fall in place. And you see your results getting better. You see your concentration getting better. Well, this is a friend of mine that I actually work with in my real job, and lots in common, you know, hit all the beer fests. We have everything in common, and we love this cooking thing. So I don't want to forget Marie Moody. But yes.
Female.
Oh, absolutely.
So she builds your boxes.
She does the boxes, and she runs the cooker all night. I kind of doze off, as everybody knows. Usually people come around and say, there's Marie working again. Tom's just sleeping, and that's usually what it looks like. And she runs that cooker. I don't use a guru. I fill that thing every 40 minutes, you know, with the way I want it to run. So I'm still hardcore with that. I don't get any real sleep time.
So give up a secret to us guys that don't know the Meadow Creek that much. During the night, so when you say you fill it up, are you going in there with some splits? Or are you going in there just topping it off with some lump or some charcoal?
I'm a charcoal guy, and I use the best charcoal on the market, which is Royal Oak. I hope they heard that. That's my other sponsor, by the way.
Okay.
So I get Royal Oak all year to use. Well, I use Royal Oak as my base, and I use mini splits, just very small pieces of wood, pecan and cherry. To get the smoke flavor in. I believe that it's just the flavoring. I don't even run the wood the whole time. I'm more of a charcoal guy. So I'm shoveling charcoal in and keeping a base of heat in that back firebox every 40 minutes.
Okay.
To run that cooker at about 250.
250, all right.
So I got there Friday. We set up, and I was relaxing. I didn't do any people's choice or anything. I wanted to have a beer, sit down. Marie would show up in the evening around 7, and, you know, that's my Friday, man. I didn't do anything. Most of my meats are prepped. I do all that at home ahead of time, except for pork. I'll trim that there because I don't inject or anything, so I just trim that up on the spot.
So let's talk about the categories a little bit.
Yeah.
Chicken. Yeah.
The last thing that you put on the cooker, the first thing that you turn in. I hate chicken. I hate everything about it. And I'm going to come right out and tell you how I cook it, because I don't even think it's a proper way to cook chicken. I'm a butter bath guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's barbecue chicken. And I cook it. What's that?
When I started cooking on, I cooked, there was a while I cooked all four categories on pellet cookers.
Yeah.
And I caught a bunch of shit about it, but we made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I told people, I said, look, I said, guys, it's a contest. I said, and until I go to a contest where they say, you know, you everything's got to be, you know, hand-fed, et cetera, no electronics. I said, look, I'm not here trying to win.
No, so, absolutely. I'm one of the guys that, I like doing it the hard way, just because that's me. I'm stubborn.
Right. But I put butter basting that same way.
Oh, man, mine's basted in butter until you can bite through the skin, and I don't get any crispy skin. I dip it in this super heavy glaze that makes it look like a shiny mirror, and I put it in the box.
Yep.
I hate chicken, but I'll tell you, it's been doing well, and, you know, that was always one of my worst categories, and it ended up pulling a honorable mention with a 9th place, which was a big part of me, you know, winning this thing. But so chicken is just a basic thing, and I hate doing it.
All right, so thighs, you're cooking thighs?
Oh, yeah, I'm cooking thighs.
And
trimming the knuckles off, making them nice and small,
yep.
You know, no muffin pans, but, you know, make them all uniform, that kind of
small
thing.
Small, uniform. Are you scraping the skin
No, I love that skin on there, or the fat on the back of that skin.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we made a change on that, and we've seen our scores change dramatically. We went from, filleting the fat off the skin to actually leaving it there and just cooking it out till it's bite through. Tom, look at me, look at you. I mean, anybody go look at our Facebook pictures. We're not small guys.
No.
I mean, fat is flavor, my friend.
Absolutely. It's beautiful flavor.
Exactly. So,
but it is. That's my scores went up. I used to scrape that skin. I hated it. Ripping the skin, you're like, you know, I couldn't stand it.
Well, all right.
But I got to tell you, those tenderizers with all the little needle punches, you know, the meat tenderizers.
Your carbs.
I do that.
Really?
I tenderize that skin. I'll put some holes in there before I put it back on the chicken.
So you'll take a Jacquard and you'll push it through the top or the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll lay the skin out, and I'll hit it with that tenderizer punch just to get those little holes in there. So when that gets tender, it'll kind of break apart, I believe, better. It'll be bite-through better.
Man, I'll tell you what, I've never thought about that, but you just shigged yourself.
Oh, that's all right. Awesome. Go ahead and do it. Everyone listening, go out and try it. You know, I found that, you know, you can hear all this stuff, and what it's going to cause people to do is go away from their game plan, and that's better for me.
No, that is I won't try it this weekend, but it's something I'll definitely. Guys, when you hear something like that you go, oh, that makes sense, don't go try it at your next contest.
No. Well, no, go ahead and do it. If you're cooking Middleton, you want to do that.
but no, seriously, and I've always tried to tell people this about the show when they hear something, is go and do it. And on chicken, do it three times.
Absolutely. You got to do it more than once to know.
And just say, hey, this is my program. I'm taking what I learned from Tom. I'm going to Jacquard the skin, put it back over, like I do. I'm doing my whole program, but I'm going to Jacquard the skin. Oh, wow. That, and, you know, and you cook it and you go, oh, wow, that's better. Do it two more times.
Absolutely. That's how you know.
And then when you feel comfortable with it, then go out and put it in your game plan. If your chicken's missing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and believe me, mine was. It was either last place or almost last place.
Hey, we were either first or last, Ricky Bobby. First or last. So, all right, so now we're going to go to ribs.
There's my cat. I love ribs. Always was my best category. I always finish high with that. Had a little, you know, slump with them, but I love my ribs.
But let's talk a little bit. Spares or babies?
I use spare ribs.
Spare, obviously cut down in St. Louis?
Yeah, and actually I went to, with this contest, I usually would buy the mediums or the, like, 3.5 and ups.
Yeah.
This contest, I went to the smaller ones. I went to the, 3.5 and downs, trimmed them down, and they truly look like baby backs. I mean, these are skinny little racked, you know, short little ribs. Yeah. So that's what I used this time.
So about 250?
No, yeah, I'll hit it up with rub, you know, pretty much right before I put them on the cooker at, you know, 6 in the morning, and I throw them on at 250, start piling in some hickory, you know, some pecan wood and cherry wood.
Are you a store-bought or a commercial rub guy or a make-your-own rub guy?
To a fault, I am a make-my-own rub guy.
Really?
I don't even have rubs in my house to try or tell you how other people's rubs are. And Chris or Rob will tell you, I'm very stubborn with that. I can't get it through my head to use that in a competition and feel good about myself if I win. I want to win and lose with my own recipies.
Tom,
it's just something that I do. I don't recommend it. I mean, there's rubs out there that are fantastic. Why go through all the work that I do?
Rob.
But that's what I do.
Tom, you are the epitome of the old school barbecue guy.
I must be.
Wait, hey, Wood Pit. You found a very sweet young lady to stoke for you all night. Score. And you make your own rubs.
Yeah. Yeah, I only use a couple commercial things. One of them is Butcher's, and they don't sponsor me, but I don't mind using their name because I think their injections are great, and
hey,
I use their...
Don't worry
their...
about it. Don't worry about it. This show is sponsored by Cosmos Q.
Cosmos, well, I had theirs, too. Cosmos has some good stuff. But I don't use theirs. I use Butcher's.
That's fine. So on your ribs, hey, I'll tell you what. You're letting a couple secrets out.
I don't mind. I'll stop myself if there's something I don't want you to know.
No. I'm going to tell you a secret.
Oh, there we go.
We're going to turn in a rib box this weekend. I can tell you right now, unless something goes bad, we're going to give the judges a choice. Let me put it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, to give them a choice, you're talking baby backs or spares?
And six each.
That is, I've seen it done. Good luck.
But hey.
I love the idea. I mean, I think it's great. I've done that with chicken, you know, where you get the little wing sections in there with your thighs, but never did that with ribs.
I'm going to tell you. And hey, if they all want, hey, there's enough in there that if all of them just want St. Louis style, get it.
Now, here's the thing. They can actually take one of each because there's enough in there, and some people will do that. Judges, because they're going to taste everything in your box.
And to me, when a judge does that, you know, it's one of those things let's just say this. Let's just say you're a judge and you grab both, when you one of each, because you can. And let's say you bite into that St. Louis and you go, okay, that's good. It's not great, but it's good. And you haven't wrote down a score yet, right?
Right.
And you grab that baby, and you bite into it, and you go, damn, that's pretty good, too. Well, hold on. This guy cooked baby backs and St. Louis that both taste really good. Not great, but good. That's a 9. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I got you.
Yeah, so to me, that's my thought process.
Hey, it sounds like a great plan. I can't wait to see how that goes.
Well, man, it sounds like you know something.
I have a different thought on it. You know,
if one of them's
going to be better than the other, in my opinion, you're going to taste these ribs, right, when they come off the cooker. One of them, to you, is going to be a better rib than the other. If they're not, that's awesome, too, and you got them both perfect. To me, I would put the ones that's better in and leave the other ones out. Why take a chance?
Well, no. I completely agree with you. And I'll tell you what we're doing. We're cooking 3 slabs of St. Louis. We're cooking 3 slabs of ribby backs.
Gotcha.
We will cut 2 ribs off of each one of them.
Beautiful.
And if the 2 slabs of baby backs are just, I just want to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
We're going to put 2 rows of baby backs in there, and we're going to go on. But to me, I go into a contest with that being my plan.
Oh, absolutely.
But obviously how the meat comes off the cooker is totally different.
That's when you see what a pit master's worth.
Right.
You're going to go by your plan and your schedule. When you hit that wall, it's how you climb it, man. It tells you what kind of a cook you really are.
I have tried to tell guys that when people will say, well, you know, I'm thinking about taking this class or this class or this class. I said, I'll tell you what, if somebody offers a contest class, take it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to see is you're going to see those last minute. And not that anybody gives a class and doesn't give that information up.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, real world is real world. You know, you sit there and go, We cooked 3 of these. Well, these 3 are overcooked, and we're going to get hammered, unless it's like Salisbury, Maryland, where there's about to be a 40-mile-an-hour wind that'll seize them up. You know, you're like, no. We're going to turn these 2 racks in and go.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, we're talking about my ribs at this comp. I had one rack of ribs that wasn't overcooked out of six. I got six ribs out of one rack and put them in the box.
Boom.
And I got fifth place. And the other, as I was going through the racks, the flavor was great, but they're falling off the bone left and right. I mean, I really made that mistake this time. But, I put just from one rack in, and they were the good ones, and they worked.
Well, I'll tell you what, because we got to cook against each other time, I'm gonna tell you a trick. At 1:31 on Saturday, over a Buffalo Trace, that will make that better. I promise.
All right, awesome.
When you pulled that rib off, how much time did you have before you knew it was overcooked?
I overcooked it as it was resting. I put it back into my firebox. I don't use Cambros or anything. I use this firebox on my cooker.
Yeah.
But then as I was doing that, I didn't take into account that I upped my temperature to almost 300 to get my chicken done.
Yeah.
Well, my firebox went a little high, and the foiled ribs that were now rested and ready, no longer cooking, they continued to cook. And it's a mistake, and it's something I knew what I did. And you just got to kind of swing with it.
Well, like I said, on Saturday at 1:31, over a Triple Finger Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Beautiful. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. So, pork. Are you known as a pork cook up there in the Northeast?
A little bit.
Okay.
I did good last year. I mean, last year I was getting first places left and right in that damn thing. Second in the Mid-Atlantic region in pork. Last couple times I've cooked pork, they've been almost last. So this contest, I pulled it back together.
Awesome. And you finished what, top five again?
Five. I got five in pork this competition.
All right.
And I cook two pork butts. I trim out the money muscle on one, cook it to a temp that I know it's going to slice. Usually I can't use the rest of that butt, but I use the money muscle. The other one I cook to a point that it's going to pull, and I get chunks and pulled out of it. So I give three different selections. I give them the sliced. I give them a cubed kind of pork where it looks like chunks, And then I give them the pulled pork.
All right. So
no injection, only dry rubbed and cooked.
What are you cooking? What kind of pork are you cooking?
What kind? Just IBP. Yeah. I mean, just your regular pork butt.
You're cooking a Green Label IBP right out of Sam's Club.
Yeah.
No injection, just rubbed.
No. When I tried injecting a few times, I had a horrible time. I get a better job just cooking it to the temperature that I want it to finish at, and no injection.
No shit.
And I don't know why, and a lot of people have asked me, especially when I was doing well and getting the high marks on them. I it doesn't work for me. I think there's enough fat in the pork already,
so
you don't have to do that.
For sure. Wow, that is that right there, guys. I would say if there was one meat that I wouldn't inject, that would be that'd probably be the one, just because, like you said, it's got a lot of forgiveness in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I swear by it now. I mean, I'm not going to ever put a needle to the pork again. Brisket's another story, but pork is a very basic. Matter of fact, I trim it right before I put it on the cooker. I mean, it's not something I even trim ahead of time because my trimming is very slight on those things.
So, are you cooking all what I would call to the people listening basic meats, things you can get at Sam's Club or your local?
Yeah, I go to Restaurant Depot, but it's just a double pack of usually IBP or Excel. Has their double packs of bone-in pork butt. Nothing special. I used XL ribs this time. I bought a case of the low ribs, and that's what I'm going to be using at this comp coming up here, too, this weekend.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I think Excel ribs suck.
What's that?
I don't like Excel ribs.
Well, I never did either. It's just recently on some cooks that I've done with them, I found them way fattier than even some of the IVP, some of the bigger ones. I'm not sure why. And they're really coming out nice for me. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to run with them again, man.
Hey, you ride the lady that got you there, don't you, kid?
I'm going
right,
with it.
So brisket, are you you're not buying a Restaurant Depot brisket, are you?
Oh, yeah. Choice.
Choice?
Yep.
A choice? Hold
I
on.
Use choice
you're
brisket.
Even,
I.
You're not even paying the extra 30 cents for
no.
the damn CAB at Restaurant Depot, huh?
No, I get choice. They usually have, at least where I'm at, it's usually a bigger cut of meat, too, where it's really thick. I'll trim just the fat off the top of the flat. I'll cut out the point, you know, so I have something to make the burnt ends with. You know, like most people do. I'll square up my flat to fit in the box. I mean, I do all that. I do a good amount of trimming on it, but I leave all that fat on the bottom. And I cook it fat side down till it gets to about 175, 180, and then I foil it fat side up and finish it off. That's it. I mean, I use choice.
Wait. Tell me that one more time, because that's way different. I just want to make sure I heard it right.
I'll let you see the wrapper this weekend. I use choice. I got it sitting in the fridge right now.
No, but tell me the fat up, fat down. That was the thing that struck me.
No, I cook it in the cooker, fat side down, until the nice part and a nice piece in the flat there shows me about 175, maybe 180.
Yeah.
And then I'll put some foil in a pan, but I'll put the little bit of beef broth in there and put it fat side up in the broth, back in the cooker until I get about 208 or so, and then I'll bring it out, vent it, and rest it.
So are you cooking on that, or are you cooking straight to temperature or to feel?
At the end I am. At the end I'm looking at temperature, and then I'll open it up and see how tender it is. Sometimes
right.
I put it back on, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'll wrap because of the color instead of waiting for it to go, you know. But if the color is good, I'm not going over 180.
Yeah. No, especially on a stick burner, that color is much more key than on something insulated or a pellet. I agree.
I'm adding wood again, you know. Like, at a certain point, my ribs are going to go on. I don't know if I want to put all that, you know, that much more smoke onto my brisket.
Yep.
So sometimes that's when I'm kind of wrapping it just to keep it away from the smoke while I'm getting the ribs done.
I'm going to tell you, the one thing I'm most happy about, I mean, we're going to try something. And, you know, I've done here at the house, but I haven't done it in a contest. But I've done it three times at the house, so I can do it in a contest. Is going from a, you know, a stick burner to a WSM, a GMG on butts and brisket. You know, once I see the color where I want it to be, you know what? They're going to get wrapped, and they're going to go over there to a low heat to come up. And
dude, it's actually the way to do it. I know other people that do that. What you're getting out of that is consistency. I mean, you're going to get the smoke you want, the color you want, and then what do you want to do? You're just finishing it up?
Yeah.
Put it in the oven. Put it in the one that you know you can keep temperature perfect, and you can finish it perfect. And then, no, I think it's the way to do it. It's that's a good method.
And then what I'm looking most forward to is cooking my ribs on that Meadow Creek.
I love it.
I cook ribs, you know, on our SBS, and I love them.
Yeah.
They're good. They've won us some money. But, man, I've cooked ribs here full up on the lane at the house. And they just got another layer of flavor.
Did you like it with the lang then, you're saying?
Yeah.
I think that heavier flow of smoke, more air going by, those ribs, it's the perfect atmosphere.
And you're just not going to duplicate that in a gravity-fed cooker.
No, or the big green egg. It's one of the reasons that I don't use my egg for ribs anymore.
No, but on ribs, I'm really looking forward to taking Chris's TS-250.
Yeah.
And just cooking ribs on that thing the whole time.
Hey, man, he got, he'll correct me, I think, if I'm wrong, but I believe he got third place in ribs up in Green Lane.
Yeah.
He put some great ribs out on that thing, man. He's been doing it for a while now. So, yeah, man, it's a good cooker you're going to be using, and it's seasoned
so
well.
So he's going to be able to tell me the rib hot spots and cold spots, eh?
Oh, he's going to step in and tell you everything. Wait till you see. I've cooked with this guy. Get ready, man. Sorry, Chris.
Tom, we have went over by about 20 minutes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Hey, and you know what? You know what? I've been texting back and forth with Craig Sherry.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? He said, hey, man, it's this guy's first time in the pit. Let him talk.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, but we got to get him on, man.
We'll get him on here in a second. But, brother, it has been a good time. And, dude, I'm so happy for you. So I want to break down a couple of things, and then we'll go.
That sounds good.
You hear the ninth place chicken.
I'm sorry, say again?
You hear the ninth place chicken call.
Yes.
This weekend. You hear the fifth place ribs.
Yeah.
And now, mind you, I mean, you're in a good group of cooks. Three Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Serial Griller. I mean, there's some names there, right?
Absolutely.
You hear the fifth place pork.
Yeah.
How did you feel about your brisket when you turned it in?
To be honest, I thought the brisket was the best thing that we turned in, which was
so
really interesting. And my mind was already spinning, man. I couldn't catch my breath. I got people pat me on the back going, dude, three calls.
Hold on. When you got those three calls,
yeah,
you've got in the biz what we call the brisket boner.
Yeah.
You're thinking brisket's the best one I got.
Absolutely. I glanced over my shoulder. Marie was sitting at a table. I was standing. I can't sit during the awards. And we just caught eyes, and I was like, my God, our brisket, it was the best thing we did. Can this really happen? You know what I mean? And I was very surprised getting the other calls. I thought all of my meats were a little overcooked, ribs being one of them, pork being the other, but they worked. Brisket, I thought, was right on. I had my burn ends in there. They were nice. Were nice.
Time out for a second. Word to anybody listening that is not an experienced barbecue cook, and I want to get Tom's approval on this. If you're going to do something with ribs, overcook them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's better to go further than before. You know, you want to overcook it.
You never know if you're going to be the first box on the table or the sixth box on the table.
Yeah.
If you lean on a side, lean on a side of overcooked.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay.
No, you're absolutely right. I always feel better if they're undercooked, you're done.
Yeah, your shit house. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, brisket was our best, and, you know, how scary that was as they're going top 10. They called top 10. You got up to 5, you got up to 4, and I was really thinking now, hell, was it really this good, though? I figured we were out of it. But third place.
So are you
dude, I can't explain the feeling. First of all, we walk up for it. People are – what's that?
Are you the only four call guy?
You know, I have to go back and look. I could not remember anything. I got Big Dan from Three Eyes yelling over, and Chris, you got it, man. Stay up there. I was totally, my mind was blank. I don't know who got calls. I didn't remember my other calls.
Yeah.
I was really in that state of mind at that point.
No, I can tell you. I was talking about the Winter Haven contest, and you tell me if it's similar. It was just such a big contest for us, and we had a really bad 2012. We didn't win a grand. We didn't win a reserve. I was very much in my head about, you know, I was always changing shit every week, and it was just, it was bad juju. We didn't cook as many cups as we cooked, blah, blah, blah. But, man, when we got to Winter Haven and we got those three calls to the stage, and they were three good calls. You know, and you go back after brisket, and you're like, "Well, who else has three?" Well, you know, and you start strategizing, you start talking about it. To me, that's what we did. It was like, "Well, who's got three? Okay." And he's like, "We're gonna call the top five overall," and they start rattling through, and they get to your reserve grand champion is, and it's not your name.
You know, you yeah.
No, because there was another team that had three calls.
Oh, gotcha.
That was still out there. And you're like, man, and I looked at Jared, and Jared looked at me and goes, our ribs are pretty damn good. And that was the only one. They called 12 at that contest, and we finished 13th in ribs.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And so, you know, so they, but I understand that you know, it's a very surreal feeling because you walk off the stage and you're like, man, we may have won this thing. Now, there's been contests before, and you'll have one of these times where you sit there and you go first, third, second, fourth. Yeah, we're probably going to, you know, 35-team field. We're probably going to come back up again. But when you get in those tight races, it's like, oh, my gosh. You walk off that brisket stage and you feel worse than when you walked on it. You're like, oh, my God. Okay. And you're like, and everybody's saying, oh, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours.
Yeah, that's
and
the problem.
Like,
everyone.
You're like, don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that on me.
Well, I was standing there and I kept telling the guy next to me and Paul from Shady Cross, I just want to hear the name. I said, don't tell me it's us. Because I knew that, Chicken Chokers.
Yeah.
They got quite a few calls, but I couldn't remember how many. When
they
were called
well.
That reserved, we kind of knew it because, you know, we have to be in the top 10 somewhere.
Yeah.
So after the reserve was called, I kind of blacked out a little bit. Yeah, that's when it happened.
I just want to say congratulations again.
No, I appreciate it.
We're so happy for you, man. That is so killer. So
I'm thrilled.
I told you we were getting into the sponsor thing. Can I pull you back another night for that?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
Awesome. Because I want to talk about, I want you to hit up Buffalo Trace on the way out, but I want to talk about how you went out and got Buffalo Trace and Royal Locust sponsors.
Yeah.
So that the listeners can learn from that. So
let's talk about that. Set something up because I am very opinionated when it comes to sponsorship and how
yes.
it should work anyway.
Yes.
And I'd love to express that.
Hey, we won't make it long. Let's make that 2 or 3 weeks out, brother.
Love it. Look forward to seeing you this weekend, man. It's going to be a blast.
I cannot wait to cook with you or against you. I can't wait to beat your ass.
We're going to see what happens. All right, man. I just want to.
No. We'll have some dollar bets on some certain categories.
I'm good with that.
And we'll drink a lot of damn Natural Light and Buffalo Trace.
Dude, that is a plan. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on, man.
Tom, anything else you want to hit on the way out? I always give my guys a chance to hit it on the way out.
Hey, no, I think I covered everything, man. I'm good. I'm going to go trim some meat now. You got me all psyched up.
All right, brother. Hey, can't wait to see you on Friday, man.
Absolutely.
Later.
Hey, cheers.
All right, guys. Tom Barra. Dude. Philly Blind Pig BBQ. What a friggin' great guy to have on the show first time. I'm all jacked up. I had a good time. And Tom's just a great spirit, a great guy. If you just saw all the guys in chat that said, man, this guy's salt of the earth, you know, great guy, loving everything. I mean, that's just a man, you know what I mean? Awesome to have Tom on the show tonight. And Tom, once again, congratulations. 45 contests, his first DC, and it is well damn deserved. Real quick, before we go over to Craig Sharon, if you're wanting to get your first GC, I'd recommend you go over to thebarbecuesuperstore.com. Because my friends Rich and Mark are going to, now you can get some meat Mitch over there if you want to. You can. Are going to take care of you. They have all the latest and greatest. They've got the Butchula, which is the spatula that will handle a pork butt. They've got barbecue stuff. They got Harry Sue stuff. They've got Craig Sherry stuff. They've got Cosmo stuff. They've got all the people that we love. They've got their stuff. The Barbecue BBQ Superstore.com. Go over there, check it out. And I can't wait any longer. I got to get over to Craig Sherry. Craig, what's up, Bubba?
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Craig, the pleasure is all mine, my friend.
Thanks for having me on this evening. I do appreciate it very, very much.
Yes, sir. And I'm sorry about us being so late, but, man, me and Tom are having a good time.
hey, it's what it's all about. If we can't have fun at this, we need to quit.
Well, and you know, as being a loyal sponsor of the show and the team, you get airtime anytime you need it. And and that's the thing I love about this show is getting those first-time guys on and just getting to know them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I sit in here taking notes while I was listening to him talk. None of us ever get too big that we can't learn something from somebody else, that's for sure.
Oh, no, sir.
And I like the way you suck the little tidbits of information out of people.
Yeah, well, you try. I mean, hey, when I catch a snippet, I'm going to share it.
Your interview skills are phenomenal.
Well, thank you, Craig. I appreciate it, my friend. Well, the biggest interview tip I got about talking to you is you made a real big decision a week or two ago.
Yes, sir.
And, man, I couldn't be happier for it, Craig. You know,
well, thank
you have built this brand to a place where you believe if you could put full-time work into it, you're going to take it further. And that is awesome. And guys, so you don't understand, Craig Sherry don't jump around from job to job. Craig, you had, 23 years in with where you're at?
Actually, believe it or not, I was 1 week away from having 25 years.
25 years. And you have seen enough life and love of the people about Texas Pepper Jelly and Rib Candy that you just said, hey, it's time to make this thing full time. I mean, Craig, that's a big decision because does your wife work?
Yes, she does. Thank goodness.
So you've got her insurance and this and that, but still, man, when you've been somewhere 25 years, it ain't like you're quitting a burger flipping job, bud. I mean, you're leaving some money behind, but to me, it just sells how much more of a damn good brand this is, you know?
Well, I appreciate all the kind words. This decision did not come lightly. I've got if I could take just a second, there's just so many people that I could thank. And if I start naming names, I know I won't catch
everybody.
You're
getting in trouble, yeah.
But, family, of course, friends, barbecue friends. You know one of them. I don't know if you know both of them. I've got to give you two names. Glenn Jarrett, which she thinks
yeah.
Class.
God dang it,
I tell you, he always listened. He never said anything negative. He was just always supportive.
Can I say something? I don't mean to cut you
sure.
off, Greg. Can I say something about Greg?
Absolutely.
You know, he is one of those guys. Don't try to read what Glenn says by his body language. He's one of those guys that speaks in volumes. He's not a guy like me. I will get up in front of a crowd and I'll speak a lot of words. And somebody in that crowd may take two sentences I said and go, man, that's my mission. Or that's what I'm going to do. When Glenn Jarrett talks, you listen.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you, that's the guy that when I came back from the Invitational 2010, 123rd out of 126, he had tasted my sauce, he had tasted my food. I was three-quarters away on a crown bender because of those results. And he came over to me and said, not to anybody else on my team. I was sitting in a chair. He walked over to me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, do you want to hear what you got to change to be successful tomorrow? And I said, yes, sir. I said, you've been a kind man. He goes, buddy, I've cooked this for 10 years. If you want to listen, I'll tell you. And in three sentences, he laid out, boom, boom, boom. Here's what you got to change. And guess what? We went, and I told the guys, I said, I pulled the guys together. I said, guys, here's what he just said. This is what we're doing tomorrow. And one day, we went from 123 out of 126 to 33 out of 485.
Makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
But here's the thing, man. When Glenn looks at you as a friend or as a compadre, he takes care of you. And that's the cool thing about that guy. Is you know, he's not out there like me and you are, but when you get to know the guy, man, he's salt of the earth, brother.
Absolutely. And I'm very fortunate, very fortunate. I have so many friends in so many different walks of life. But to actually have a friend that's also carrying and shares the same passion in barbecue, all I can say is I'm blessed. But it doesn't just stop at him. Lane Chapman,
dude,
Wild Willis Cookers.
I want to talk about this guy because I've seen you mention this guy before, and you've got to hook me and him up. We got to get him on the show.
We can do that.
I've never met Lane. But, man, I see so many people in that region of you guys talking about him like he's just an awesome dude.
He is. He is. I tell you what, he's probably, you know, we all have bad days. I don't think I've ever caught Lang on a bad day. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always got a hand out to shake someone's hand. He'll do anything in the world for you. Lane's been cooking off and on for a long time. I won't even hazard a guess how long. Lane came into my little world probably about 3-4 years ago, and he was pretty straight up forward. He says, "Hey, can you give me some pointers? Can you give me some tips?" And he comes spent the day with me, and I remember he came out with his notepad and pencil and paper, and he was all excited, and he was writing stuff down, and we went to trim brisket, and I said, okay, well, here's what I do, boom, 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 and I was finished, and he goes, dude, it only took 10 minutes, and I said, well, I don't overthink it, you know, this is what I do, and he goes, no, you don't understand, you've been winning, you've got to do more than that, and I can just remember laughing at him, and I can remember him shaking his head going, it just can't be that simple. Maybe I'm missing something here. And that evening at awards, I was fortunate enough to win a GC, and he looked over at me and gave me a thumbs up. And from that day on, anything I've ever said, he's just absorbed it like a sponge. And he's taken what little bit of knowledge I've given him and he's got from other people, and he's turned into a heck of a cook.
Yeah, he's a recognized force out there, and you guys
absolutely, absolutely. He doesn't get to cook as often as some of the rest of us due to family obligations, which everybody can understand. But when he gets out there, you better watch out because he'll sneak up on you.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna be all over it. No, that is.
I mean, he's the reason I was able to walk up on the stage at the Royal last year. You know what the Royal's like. We all do.
Oh,
yeah. Been there. And I cooked. He was my helper. We went up together, and I don't remember where we placed. It wasn't something to be proud of. It was
No. Craig Sherry. When you walk at the Royal, it's something to be proud of.
Well, what I was going to say is at the Invitational, we were like 135 out of 165 or something.
Whoa!
I mean, it wasn't pretty. But
yeah.
You know, he kept it. He kept my head focused. He kept saying it would be all right.
Another day.
So
another day.
We turned it around the next day, and you know, sometimes you have a feeling, and then I'm sitting here thinking, I've got 13 hours to drive home, 530-something teams. What are the odds? Let's go to the house. And Lane's like, no, let's stay for awards. And when I got the first rib call, you could have knocked me over with a feather. And then we got a 12th brisket, and boy, Lane's over. He's probably more excited than I am. And then to finish fifth overall in that crowd.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, life was good.
Yeah.
It's what we do. I enjoyed it. I hope to get to do it again sometime soon. And I'm just thankful. But before we get on to contests and stuff, besides
I want to talk a little bit more about this decision.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
That's where I want to go too is. Because we always got time to talk about contests, but this is
right, exactly.
Kind of this is the new and relevant thing.
Yeah,
is,
I mean, these...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just
no,
excited.
You,
go
I,
ahead.
I mean, you tell me about the thought process, not inside your head, but inside the Sherry household. Because, I mean, your wife has to be like my wife. I mean, my wife, you know, she just... always inspires me to go, hey, you know, if you don't think you can do this, yes, you can. And she just, you know, she's always that driving force. And I feel like you've got a wife that's the same way, brother.
Yeah, sometimes we all forget to stop and realize just how thankful we really should be.
Yes, sir.
Besides the friends that were listening to me and push me, I mean, I've had friends push me from day one, do this full time, but, you know, they don't see your bills and what you got going on. The wife, on the other hand, you know, I say I was a week away from 25 years, and that's impressive. But I got to tell you, 20 of those were miserable.
Yeah.
The last five or six have just been totally miserable. I've been one of these persons. I never knew what I wanted to do. To some extent, I'm not sure I do, but, you know, we work out of necessity. We work because we want things.
It's a means to an end, brother.
You betcha. And it was going through the motions. And, you know, I started Texas Pepper Jelly on a whim. Something to play around with, and I got interested in cooking, and I thought, hey, you know, if this will bring me in a little income, since I don't have any sponsors, and I really don't know sometimes if I ever want one because I'm so headstrong and wanting to do things my way, I thought this would be great. Maybe it'll pay for a few barbecue contests, and we'll see what happens. Well, the business grew, and one of the things that I've been blessed with is my customers, especially my repeat customers. You know, it's hard to get a first time, but you've really got to have something going your way to get them to come back time and time again. And I've got a list of customers that have been with me for, we're going into our seventh year, and they've been with me from day one. And it just, I got to tell you, it just tickles me to see them still ordering after all these years.
Craig, on that point, let me ask you this. And you're probably like I am. I'm not a big Facebook guy, but on Saturday evening, I'm on Facebook a lot because I want to see what came in from all the contests.
Right.
So you know the guys are ordering from you. You know their team names. You know their personal names. You know, blah, blah, blah. Is that a joy for you when you watch that come in?
You know. Absolutely, but it's a two-edged sword. I'm very happy. I'm ecstatic, and there are some guys out there that have no problem, you know, saying, "Hey, this company I use." They don't have to say what they use, but I use this company and that company. You know, that's good, and I appreciate it. The other side of that sword, though, are the guys that, and well, you know, I can understand keeping a secret. I understand when you're doing something you don't want to share, and I want to say something so bad, especially when one of them hits a top five or a reserve or a grand.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many guys in this business that I see all the time go, oh, this guy uses my stuff, this guy uses my stuff. So I don't want to get caught up and be one of those guys because you don't really have anything.
Yeah.
You know, just to say I had five guys hit second place this weekend. Okay, well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
Right.
But, you know, if Chad hit a GC next weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I use Texas pepper jelly, and that's cool. And I can say, hey, Chad uses my product. It's not some guy placed with it.
No.
I've never ever tried to tell people that my stuff is magic. You know, you can buy my product, and that does not mean you're going to go out and hit your first time out.
No, because if you cook it like shit, it's going to taste like shit.
Exactly. But there's so many other factors.
If you use my product to accent your... And maybe that's... To me, here's the thing, Craig. Is, and you know, you've listened to my radio show since it started, is I've always been a fan of your product, and I've always been a fan of Darian's product. And I'll tell people on this show that I use your rib candy on this, and this. Every category except brisket. And actually, I used it in brisket 2 contests ago, and we walked in the top 5. Just because I tasted our finishing sauce for brisket, and I said, it's just missing something. And I said, I'm gonna take and put 2 teaspoons of habanero rib candy in this au jus with this mixture. And I was like, that waked it all up. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It took the beef flavor. It punched it up. It took your flavor. Punched it up.
It took
the sauce flavor. Punched it up. And I don't have a problem sharing that with people. Because they've got to know how to apply it. So if I say, hey, I use pineapple habanero on my brisket. Guess what? Some guys will go, well, when he foils it, is he covering it in pineapple habanero? On butts, is he covering it with pineapple habanero when he foils? I have no problem saying I use it. I have used it in the last year on all 4 of my competition categories. And it's for them to figure out.
Right, exactly.
But
you know.
But it works, and it scores, and it puts checks in your pocket.
Sure. But, you know, you can understand the other guys that are out there.
I hate to
use the word paranoia, but you know what I'm saying.
But I can understand that, Craig. But I cannot. Here's what I cannot tolerate is why didn't a guy, if he wants first place ribs, and he's used your product, can he not say thanks to Texas Pepper Jelly? They were a part of my first place ribs this weekend. Hey, there may have been, and I've done this before, and it actually is pretty good. You know how people talk about a slather?
Yes.
Have you taken your, and you haven't probably, because I heard the way you just said that. Have you ever taken your pineapple habanero rib candy and used it as a slather?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
And if you, so take, here's what I'm going to tell you, and I hope I'm not giving away a secret, because me and you have not talked about this before. True or false?
True.
Okay. I have taken your pineapple habanero rib candy, laid it down on a slab of ribs, then taking a very sweet rub of Cosmos Killer Bee, not Killer Bee Chipotle, Killer Bee, which is very sweet. Laid it down to the top, and 1 ribs.
Sure. You know, there's another thing that...
So what I'm saying is, most people would think when they hear, I used rib candy on my stuff, oh, well, he's putting it in with his foiling, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. It's get creative, guys. But that was a very, very awesome rib. You know?
Right.
Go ahead, Craig.
No, you know, without trying to get too sidetracked here, I think what you originally said was when you come home on Saturday night or Sunday night, you're on Facebook. I'm thankful for all of my customers, whether they ever say a word or not. That's one thing I wanted to get home. I didn't want anybody to think that I was complaining about something. I wish sometimes I could advertise more and say a little bit more. But, you know, you can't, and you respect it, and you move on. Bottom line is, without the customers, I would be nowhere.
No. No, I completely appreciate that. I can understand that. And that is cool. That's what makes this clock go round. I have a problem with guys who just can't say, hey, I used it. I finished third and fourth this week, and I used Craig Sherry's product. It's not giving away anything. Craig, I've taken your product and put it in my injection. On port. Not in full parts. I haven't poured a whole bottle in there and injected it. But
right.
I've cut it into my injection. And when I go to wrap on pork with your glaze over the top with some other things, they all complement each other. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
I mean, just
sure,
to say,
absolutely.
And I've given more details than anybody has to give, but just to say, I used Texas pepper jelly on port this weekend and took a third place. You know that he bought it, so you can call non-bullshit. And,
right.
But at the same time, it gives you brand recognition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's probably the marketer in me coming out.
It is. And marketing is the key to this whole thing.
All right, Craig. So while we're on the air, I'm going to ask
you. Because we have, you know, we're almost talking two different things. We're talking. You and I are getting into barbecue, which we tend to do very easily.
Yes, easily.
But before I ask your favor, before I go back to my wife for a second.
Yes. No. Finish up with your wife.
No, we got so sidetracked. I'm trying to, believe it or not, here I am trying to keep us on point. Usually it's you trying to keep me on point. Can you believe that? I'm actually trying to do something right here. No. My wife, bless her heart, she's been after me to quit this job for the last couple of years. And when I finally decided to pull the trigger and do it, everybody's been wonderful. Everybody has said encouraging words. Everybody thinks it's just great. And you're all right. But I got to tell you, there's also another side of it, and I'm scared to death. You know, it's really cool to see orders come in, and as long as they come in, everything's good. But you know, you got to ask yourself, in the real world, you know, can you make a living off of this?
Yeah.
And one thing I knew for sure, I had taken it as far as I could, working nights and weekends.
Yeah. You're wearing yourself out.
Exactly. And so, you know, I really didn't have a choice. For us to go to the next level, it had to be done. So, hey, here we are. We're going to try it. We'll see what happens. If y'all see me put a deal on Facebook that says I need a job, well, you'll know it didn't go too well.
But I got you one, Bubba. I got you one. Well, we'll handle it. I promise.
Oh, do you now? Okay.
Well, we can make that happen.
I'll remember that. But before I go back to work, I am going to promise you this. Somehow, some way, in the next 6 to 9 months, I'm coming to Florida. I don't know if I'm going to cook or just hang out somewhere and be a nuisance. But my goal this next year is to get around to some different teams that I've got to know and visit with and try to cover some regions I haven't been in, and hopefully you'll see me there.
Craig, you got to realize, anytime you want to come in the big dog's state, you got it. We'll be there. We'll cook a contest together. Well, whatever you need, Bubba, we got it for you. We would love to have you down here. And just, I would just love to have all the guys that I believe, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Since we started working together, have you seen a lot more Florida customers?
Well, yeah, and let me tell you about Florida real quick. It's of all states, my goodness, I wouldn't have figured Florida for this. But I actually have three retail businesses in Florida that are carrying my products. And I would like to just plug them all real quick so y'all know who they are and you can support them if they're in your area. And I'm not familiar with the state, so I don't know if these guys are next door to each other or what. But a new place is opening up, Pitmaster's Depot.
That's my buddy Jay.
Your buddy Jay in Tampa.
Yep.
We have a store called Just Grilling.
Just Grilling.
Just Grilling.
Doug and Heather
Driscoll.
Yep. I do cooking classes there every month.
Heather's great to talk to in Tampa. And
yep.
A place called Grills and More in Lakeland.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I turn them your way.
I tell you what, man. They're reordering, and nothing's, you know, it's great to sell them the first time, but when they reorder, that's when you
got to
love it. Exactly.
That's the deal. And I'll tell you what, I feature them in all my cooking classes. We did a burger the other day. I said it was going to be our spicy burger at the class. We did a stuffed burgers class, and we took a chorizo and pepper jack stuffed burger. And I was as I was finishing, I glazed it in pineapple habanero. Oh. Demi-glaze, like. I mean, not a hard glaze. Just enough to coat the meat, make it shiny, make it proper. My God, it was good. It was good,
brother.
You like
the pineapple, don't you?
Man, I love that pineapple habanero. You know, hey, I asked for two racks of pineapple habanero and a apple and cinnamon, no peppers. You know me, Craig.
You know, tell the truth. Are you using that apple cinnamon on vanilla ice cream?
No, I'm using an apple cinnamon on chicken.
Oh, man, screw the chicken and barbecue. Dude, go get you a half a gallon of vanilla ice cream, and put you some apple cinnamon rib candy over the top of it, and kick back, and life is good.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what, man. So you're feeling like, I mean, are you feeling like there's some other channels that you're going to take this brand to on another level? Obviously, quitting your job?
Well, yeah, I've got some things going on. Nothing that I really want to talk about out loud, but our product has always been good on other things besides barbecue, and dessert toppings is something that really fascinates me. For the listeners out there, take any of our products and try it on a piece of pie or drizzle some on top of a cake or some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing what it does to dessert.
Dude, once again, you know I love the pineapple habanero. On top of a freshly cooked pound cake? Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I can just imagine.
Well,
you think it's good there? Go get you some egg rolls and dip in there.
Well, hey, Craig, before the show closes out, and we can go later, and people will go pick it up on iTunes. I just want to give you, inside of 90 seconds, is there anybody you want to thank before we go on with this discussion?
No. I mean, I covered the ones I wanted to. My wife, without her support, we'd be nowhere. And without our customers, we would be nowhere. And I'm thankful for both.
Well, and I just want to hit on the last 60 seconds. Craig Sherry kicks ass in competitions, and he cooks on a Baby Jambo and a Pitmaker, right?
Correct.
All right. So there you go,
guys. Real quick. We've got 40 seconds or so.
No, Craig.
Before the show ends, I want to say something. Hey, anybody, we lose somebody right now. Go to our website for the next 3 days. Use the code word whiskey and save 20%.
Save 20%. Code word whiskey. That's a hell of a time right there.
On jelly or rib candy. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Craig. That is that's huge, man. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Anything now, for whiskey.
Well, hey, man. Can we go after hours for a second?
I'm good. I'm on your dime.
No. All right. So we're off the air, and people will come back, and we usually get about 2,500 to 5,000 downloads of the after hours segment. So that's good. Once again, 20% whiskey, code whiskey. Craig, you're too good there, folks. I appreciate it. And I'm going to be hitting you up again. I'm doing a cooking class down here Father's Day weekend in South Florida. Big money place. And I'm going to be asking you for some product to use for the class and a discount code. So.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you. Father's Day weekend. But we've got 120 confirmed already.
Okay. Just hit me up. Remind me when it gets closer and we'll do something.
I will. I know, man. You've got to be the happiest bird in the Sherry house. I mean, don't get me wrong. You've got to be happy that you're focusing on your passion, but there's a little bit of pressure there too, right?
There is. I gotta be just very candid with you. I'm scared to death, Chad. I worked off of a schedule for the time clock off the last 30 years. So, on one hand, I've got this immense amount of time, yet on the other hand, I've got so many irons in the fire, I'm almost not sure where to start, where to go next. It's like a new world. I'm driving my wife crazy. I'm driving me crazy. I'm sure it's going to get better, and it'll probably get better very soon. But the transition stage is scary as hell.
Yeah. Sure. Sure it is, because it's that unknown territory. It's that, you know, you put your toe in, but now you put your whole body in, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like we were taught to swim. They threw us off the deep end, and that's where I feel like I'm at right at the moment.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, buddy. If you, I know, I believe in you, and you believe in me. If you need anything down here in the Southeast, call it on. Not just Florida. Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, anything like that. Just let me know.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very generous. Thank you.
Because I will take your product and I will go up there and I will, and I think you know, I will do it right. I want to see you be as successful as possible. Because, Craig, that is a big, big, big chance to take.
It is. It's you've heard the term leap of faith.
You leap of faith, brother?
We've leaped. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I appreciate
it. We've got some things going on. I've hinted around about it for 6 months, and I never realized how slow the wheels turn.
Yeah.
But our barbecue sauce should be in my hands in the next 4 weeks or so.
Well, I got that one taster of it, and I friggin' loved it.
What do you think?
I loved it. It was. I'll tell you what. And for people that are listening after hours, they're going to get this. I took my Blues Hog, which everybody loves, thinking it's the best competition cooking sauce in the world, right?
Right.
I replaced it with Meat Mitch, which was good. But okay. Then I took, you only gave me, I think, 16 ounces. I took my Blues Hog recipe with, I had a little bit of sweet in it. With your sauce, it's phenomenal.
Well, good. How long ago did I send you that sample? I can't remember.
Oh, God, Craig, it's got to be 6 to 8 months.
Well, we've refined it some since then, so as soon as I get
one?
More...
You owe me one?
You
owe me one, you're saying?
Oh, I owe you more than one, but yeah, as soon as I get it in my hands, I'll send it to you.
Dude, I love it. I love it.
I hope you like it. I mean, the changes we made were nothing severe at all, just some subtleties.
Right.
You know how
yeah.
it is when you go into mass production, you have to change some
yeah.
things around.
You gotta worry about shelf life. Yeah.
You know, is it gonna be everybody's cup of tea? Probably not, but you know what? There's gonna be some guys out there that love it, and I'm making it for the guy who wants to buy it and use it, be it a competition cooker or a backyard cooker or somebody that just wants to use it at home.
You know what I get out of these guys mostly at all my cooking classes, especially if you give any love to the guys down here in Florida that buy your products, give it to Just Grilling. I'm there every month.
Okay.
And they say, you know what, Chad? And I hear my students say this, and we sell out every class. And I do it as a favor to Doug and Heather. They're great people. You probably talked to Trevor. He's a good guy.
Actually, yeah, and I've talked to Heather once before, too.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Heather's a sweetheart.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I guarantee you, Heather said, Chad told you we had to call you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm wondering if are you holding people at gunpoint down there?
No, buddy. They,
okay,
they just eat my food and go, "What makes it taste as good?" And I say, "This guy."
Well, I appreciate it.
No, and dude, hey, kudos to you for having a good time. But
hey,
I just think people need to understand, like those stuffed burgers I did the other day. I glazed one of them with it, right? With the pineapple habanero?
Mm-hmm.
The other one I took and put the apple cinnamon. It was the one that I was wanting to be more savory.
Mm-hmm.
I actually put it in my base of my hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
So I had egg, I had breadcrumbs, I had ground beef, all that. I just put a bit of apple cinnamon, no peppers, in there. Mix it all up, and you know what I finished it with? A slice of apple and a slice of jack cheddar, or jack cheese. And it was phenomenal.
You know, I'm not even a big burger fan, and that sounds good.
So,
can you believe, don't tell nobody I said that. I mean, people laugh at me all the time. A burger? Man, if the burger industry had to rely on me to eat a hamburger, they'd go broke. I know other people love them. My wife would eat a hamburger 7 days a week if she could. But that burger you just described, that sounds mighty tasty.
Well,
speaking of tasty, I'm gonna put you down as a test dummy. I've talked about it for 2 years, and I finally got time on my hands to do it. I'm fixing to hopefully have the finishing touches on a batch of margarita-flavored rib candy.
What?
Margarita-flavored rib candy.
Oh, Lord.
And when I do, I'm going to send you some, send you two or three bottles. I want you to play with it and give me some feedback.
No, I'd love to. Because you know me, man. I'm always in the meat kitchen. Always in the meat kitchen, son. And I know you are.
This would go good. I'm I'm thinking it would go good with chicken, but I'm also thinking it'd be really killer on some seafood.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's where, you know, Craig, when you've given up your day job, that's where we've got to look, is we've got to look at the places that are outside of the competition's realm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
The guy that's going to come in there every 2 weeks and go, I cannot cook my shrimp without this margarita rib candy. I can't. You know? And that's what we got to drive.
You're exactly right. You're exactly
and you know
right.
what? That's why I love teaching classes, is these guys don't want to hear about how to build the perfect turn-in box. They want to hear about how do I cook the barbecue that kicks everybody else's ass on the block.
Right.
And I'm good with that. That's what I like doing. I
you
like
know,
people
are on me all the time about teaching, and I've never done it. I may have to just call you some evening and pick your brain on how to go about it.
You know the best thing you can do is when you're down here in Florida, just come watch me in a class.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about it after that, and you'll see, Craig. There is a couple of things the good Lord's blessed us all with. Yours is to make a damn fine pepper jelly and rib candy. Mine is to teach folks. And I'm fine with that. You're fine with that. And we both cook good barbecue. But, yeah, I'd love to have you come down here and watch a class and just see the interaction we have. Because even if we're in a burger class, if somebody asks me a question about pork butt or salmon or whatever, I'm going to give them the answer. You know, here's how you make it taste better.
Right.
On through it. But, hey, you're a quick study. And you're a lovable guy just like me. You'll be fine.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you what days of the week do you typically teach class?
Saturday.
Okay, so the chances of getting down there and killing two birds with one stone, a class and a competition, how tough would that be?
Kind of shitty. Because I usually cook classes on my, or I usually teach classes on my off weekends.
Okay.
But we could probably do a Friday night class or Friday class and then leave there and go to a contest. Yeah, we could do that.
You think that's possible?
That's possible.
Let's put that one on the possible
on
to
the
do
burner?
This.
All right.
Yeah. Something for you to think on, let it simmer for a little bit, and then if you come up with a good idea, get with me and maybe we can do something.
Yeah, no, that would be good, because we could leave out of there. I could have my buddy Jared that cooks with me. He could already have everything injected, rubbed, blah, blah, blah. And we could show up there about an hour or two before we go on. So, yeah, we can make that happen.
Okay. Let's just put that on the burner and think about it.
Yeah, let's do that.
I would definitely like to try to do that, and you know, if we can do it and we could advertise it, people know I'm coming. I would say it would help you fill up your class, but you said you fill them up anyway, so I guess my name
No. If they knew Craig Sherry from Texas Pepper Jelly was coming out there, we'd probably add another 10 seats. Overflow parking, my friend.
Might be standing room only.
It would be standing room only. But to hear from two good pit masters, you know, one from Texas, one from Florida, shit, they'd love to hear that.
Well, that's something we definitely got to work on.
All right. I'd love it, man. I would love it. I'd love it, Craig. All right, man. We're wrapping up. What do you want to hit on the way out? Tell me.
Well, nothing really, except, you know, I guess, Chad, to tell you the truth, sometimes I'm just overwhelmed. I've said it 100 times tonight, and I'm sure everybody's tired of hearing it, but I'm just so fortunate to have friends and family and customers. I consider you all of the above. Just pushing the product, helping us out, keeping us planted on the ground, keeping our feet on the ground, and we'll just continue to keep offering the best customer service we can and the best products we can and see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, Craig. You guys, I bought a couple of gift baskets for my customers, and they still talk about it, buddy. They still talk about it. Just
good.
Those pepper jellies. I mean, they just love them.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But I always say, I mean, hey, if you love the pepper jelly, try the rib candy on your fluid needs, I say. And because one guy told me, he's like, I used all that jelly on my bagels and toast. He's like, I loved it, man. It was awesome. I was like, well, do you cook? He's like, yeah, I cook. I said, well, go buy you a couple of bottles of rib candy. Try that out on what you're cooking. And, man, I will tell you, they love it, man. They love it. So thank you for what you're doing, my friend. I know you're questioning things. I know you're thinking about things. But, man, you've got this big barbecue fellowship behind you, bro. You're going to be successful,
that.
Craig. You're going to be successful.
I appreciate that very
much.
I'm going to
hold you
to that.
You just keep being the honest man you are and laying out the product you do, and you'll be fine, buddy. I promise that.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Chad, very much.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
And thanks again for having me on the show this evening. I appreciate that, as always.
Ed Craig, anytime. Right. You are always welcome to be here.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Until next week, keep the pit lit.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.